More or Nothing.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of More or Nothing with Ryan and Max. And believe it or not, we were also finally joined by legend Blair Kinghorn after Toulouse's amazing win on Sunday. Blair finally waking up from his nap, so he'll be joining us later on in the show. But boys, how are we doing?
Well, firstly, you, Max, you look sun-kissed again. And I was down in London a couple of days ago and down at Richmond. Absolutely beautiful. The sun was shining, people out having drinks, summer dresses, shorts, T-shirts. And then I'm back in Glasgow and it is fucking pissed with rain for the last, just constantly since I come home. Like, that's it, boys. I'm done with Glasgow. I'm fed up. I think I'm going to move to London.
Chatted to Bex about this? Or?
Yeah, all right, bastard. Wants to bought a house. But Max, turn around, show me that filthy mullet. Oh, he's styling it as well. Ooh. You're getting a little bit...
No, that's a bit bedhead, but yeah. We're getting full, like, old-school Ali Williams vibes. Yeah, nice.
How long are you going for? Are you going to try and get it pretty long?
Yeah, I'm just going to let it go, see where it gets to. Once it gets strange, maybe, like, not quite, like, Bernard Van Rensburg long. Like, that's probably too much, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll let it go.
I think you need to grow a weird fringe with it. I just feel like a weird fringe.
I'm just going to leave the top going and see what happens. Yeah.
Proper hillbilly. Just give me one more look.
Quite a little. Yeah. It looks all right. It's working.
I don't know. It creeps me out a bit.
You had a ponytail for the first 2 years that we were working together, mate.
I know.
How creepy is that?
Yeah, but I miss it. Boys, I'm sick as well. I might as well just get all the moaning over and done with now. I am very ill and I'm putting it down to jet lag.
No.
What?
Look, this time last week, you were in absolute pieces, but you hadn't completed your Hong Kong leg of the week. How was the rest of your week in Hong Kong? And then how was the rest of your kind of trip back to Europe?
I said that I barely remembered doing much. I barely remembered doing the podcast. Like, everything's just a fucking blur, boys. It was all a blur. Like, time difference and flights. But it was, it was nice. I spent a bit of time with your brother, Mark. I don't know. Did I speak about that last week? No, I hadn't been on the boat trip yet. Me and your brother went on a boat trip. Went to Barry's restaurant. I think you've been there before, haven't you? Big Barry.
Nice.
And Barry basically led us down a very dark path and things got pretty wild again. And me and your bro were like, that's it. Like, no drinking today. We were with your vegan friend, Blair.
Blair.
Yeah. Who I'm not sure why he came to the fish restaurant with us, but he ate loads of tofu. And he was like, yeah, pak choy and tofu, please. And obviously once... Barry came out with the beers, which wasn't the plan. Oh, Willis Sonny started getting on the vegan train and having a laugh. Blair wanted to go home quite soon and me and your brother kicked the ass out of it. But anyway, I'm back now. I'm alive. And it's just nice to see the family. just to hug the children again, kiss their heads and tell them I love them.
You said you were going out to get some milk 3 weeks ago.
Oh, don't, boys. But yeah, as you can hear, it's hit me hard. I'm sick. So I had to do... I just went and did... I've got like an assault bike in the outhouse here, Max. Mate, I've used it once in 4 years. And I was like, I've not got time to head down to David Lloyd. So what I'll do is I'll jump in there and I'll just do a bit. I've just killed myself on it. And just Bex pretty much found me lying at the back door. Just like, I think I'm going to die.
What you did?
I just, 5 minutes. 5 minutes. No, not just 5 minutes. Into 20 press-ups, 20 squats, 20 sit-ups. Back on, 5 minutes. And I did that four times rounded flat out as I could for half an hour. Yeah, I thought it might help this. But it hasn't. Anyway, Max, why are you so sun-kissed? And why are you not at training? What is going on? How are you possibly here, but you weren't here last week when we needed you?
Sunday game against the mighty Falcons. So get the Monday off. Sun-kissed. the back end of the week was just showing up. Today it's a little bit overcast, but the last 3-4 days it's been really, really quite sunny here in Bristol. Yeah, it's been lovely. Had a nice weekend.
Hold on, when you say Sunday game, you've got a game next Sunday.
This Sunday coming.
Right. You didn't play at the weekend, did you?
No. We're out of Europe.
So you've had a bit of time off over the weekend then?
Oh yeah. A little team social. Cowboy.
Yeah,
team.
That was sorry. Oh, yes, oh, yes, it's just come back to me.
Yeah.
You sent them. Yeah. Lash. On so the fun. Lash as well.
So I can't watch a Western movie ever again because everyone was playing a character. Like, there wasn't a single. Like, everyone was just darn tootin'. Let's go. Everyone was just Arthur Morgan from Red Dead Redemption or Clint Eastwood. It was so funny. I was crying. Magnus was in his element. It was mental. Great crack.
Anyone with just arseless chaps? Just like
No one went full. I was probably the canvas looking cowboy, seeing as I was wearing a vest and sort of had my hat on a tilt, and DT found it really egregious. He was like, get that hat off your head like that. But it was great fun.
No, dude, the memories are coming back. Because remember, I stopped really poor choice, but I stopped via Amsterdam on the way home. So that's, I think, when I might have got those.
Yeah, I've got those trips. Yeah.
What time did they come in, Max? Because it's just like, you know, it's just suddenly rung a little bell there. When were you sending them?
No, it wouldn't have been uncivilized. It would have been like reasonably evening hours. It wasn't too bad.
We need to get everything back on course, boys. Like, Mark's been skiing. You've obviously been pissed up as well. I've kicked the arse out of it. I reckon we go on like a health retreat for the next week.
I was down at over the weekend. I went to the there's like a turf games here at Bristol, and Bristol Bears were hosting it in the barn, in the big Astro barn. Mate, some absolute freak. It's like, I forgot what it was called though. It's like the turf games, you know, the one they hold down at Roslyn Park. So like CrossFit on the turf, and there were some freak shows down there, like absolute centaur people. Very, very, very good people watching. But yeah, then I jumped into some recovery stuff down at the SIBO Wellness. So they had like, they're doing like a ice bath, sauna, sort of contrast therapy vibes, which was lovely. So I managed to reclaim part of my soul from being a cowboy for the best part of 24 hours.
That is what you need.
Mm-hmm.
That is. Where was the cowboy stuff, Maxi?
Oh, just in Bristol. Yeah, it was very fun.
Everyone behave?
Yeah, absolutely. All behavior. You know how it is.
Yeah, Pat out dressed as a cowboy?
Oh, can you imagine? That would have been brilliant. No, sadly not.
Mark, how was skiing?
Oh, yeah, amazing. Amazing. It was really good. Very sunny, and it was really nice. Those Club Med things are like, everything's included. So you can technically, I don't think they would let you through the front door, Wills, but you can just... You can start drinking at 9 a.m. if you want, and you can keep going till midnight. There's like all the bars are open all the time, and you can just have whatever you want. So, it was seriously seriously fun.
I'm thinking of genuinely giving up drinking.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, that's just misleading our listeners and viewers every time. Every time you've had a massive bender, it's like, I am done. This is it. You've heard it here first. 3 days later, probably shouldn't have gone on the lash.
Yeah. No, I'm going to try it. Oh, God, there was some rugby on at the weekend. Do we need to talk about that?
Yeah. Let's go. Right. Firstly, can I just make the very obvious point that, you know, I'm sure... some of our esteemed Harlequins fans, but also players in that squad who do listen to the podcast, they would have bloody loved it when you guys absolutely hammered their chances.
I did caveat. I said Quins, it would be very Quins-like for them to go and get a result there. But. Yeah. I did put that in there, but no, it was the other way around. It was the black win could pull it off.
If there's someone with enough time, right, that's listening to this podcast, Could they go out there and just find every prediction that we've made over the last, even over the last year, just year, and just carry at them with how, what the actual scores were? It would be fucking hilarious. I'd actually.
The crystal balls are very cloudy, very cloudy. Unreliable at the best of times.
Even if someone had enough time to do it, we would invite them on to talk through it. There you are. There's a pitch. If there's any stats people out there, not Statman Fish, because that would mean I'd have to pay him extra money, but anyone else out there that would do it for free and we'd invite them on and they could just reel it off. It'd be funny. We could try and make bets on who was the worst, because I think we're as bad as each other. But genuinely, I reckon I got one game right at the weekend. That was it.
I think Saints was the only one you guys... I'm pretty sure that's the only one you guys...
Yeah, I think it was. Right, and but the funny thing is, it's not even... It's not.
Oh, yeah, Antelus, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah.
So that's all right, guys.
It's just the way we like go at it, like how sure I am. And then just nowhere near.
To be fair, fellas, you know, what you thought, you know, the main headline is they're resting Joe Marler, Danny Kerr. That was after you'd already made the predictions. I don't think there's that many people out there, apart from clearly the squad, who thought they could go on a hot sunny day in Bordeaux with a packed out house to go and do what they've done was absolutely sensational.
The irony in that is the two of the players that were replaced for Joe and Kerr, Will Porter and Finn Baxter, both had pivotal games in getting securing that result. Like, unbelievable showing from Finn Baxter up against Ben Tamafuna. Like, that scrum was, like, that was the sort of anchor for that performance for Quinns. It was huge. Him and Will Collier were going to town.
Big and Will Porter, Max, like you said, how good?
He's very... Now, he was at Bristol last season. Hell of a bloke as well. Lovely man. But, yeah, supremely talented. Yeah.
You had him... He was with you guys before?
Yeah, he was with us before. Great lad. Very good.
Did you see that? Do you think he's got?
Oh yeah, no.
You saw it last season, and that.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's very yeah. No, he's the man. It was only a matter of time before you, because I remember Quinns was starting at the beginning of the season, but Danny Kerr still playing well. So then Danny came back in. Obviously, that relationship he has with Marcus Smith's like been around for a while, but Will Porter's unbelievable player. Yeah, very good.
Talk us through Finn though. Again, you don't get to take those opportunities in a really difficult kind of setting, if you will. You've played against him. Again, is he somebody else that you think, right, this guy he's the real deal?
Yeah. Mate, he's been hallmarked for a while now. I think he'll be sooner rather than later in that England setup. Mate, just for his age, he's so technically astute, like He always paints really good pictures for referees. He doesn't really make he's not like a messy scrummager. He gets in such good positions, and he's already sort of physically on the right sort of timeline for a guy his age. Like he's very strong, like really competitive. He's got sort of all the temperament and qualities you need to be a great loose head. And you can see that against someone like Ben Tamafuna, the planet. He had him on toast at times, up like toast.
But Max, what do you do, you know, in your situation as somebody, you know, who's played in many games, a certain veteran, but in a good sense, and you come up against someone like, you know, Finn Baxter, who let's be honest, looks like 10 years old. And then he comes and he pulls that sort of stuff off. Like, what do you do in the front? Because the front row always feels like this place for, you know, grisly veterans in there just doing sort of dark arts and things like that.
That's what you do, though. You try your tricks. I think the scrum's always been like one of those things where when you're in a scrum, if it's going well or you're sort of drawing even, if that makes sense, scrum on scrum, then you sort of keep doing what you're doing. When you're up against someone who sort of has you under the pump, that's when you're like changing where you align up on the gap. So how man on are you with the loose head? How man on are you with the hooker? Do you add more lean at the bind phase? Do you swim across, drop the bind, if a loose head's more dominant on his left shoulder than his right, there's all sorts of little nuances and tricks you can try on people like that. But right now he's having a hell of a season again off the back of last season. So it'll be I've still got to play Quinn's last game of the season, so he'll be a tricky customer.
Jesus Christ, I think I just fucking fell asleep to fucking scrum chat. Oh boy.
I was interested.
No, you know what, Rye would 100% be one of the back rowers. Yeah. So what happens on tight end side is when you go in, sometimes a loose head will get an angle on you and sort of walk around it and bang you. Rye would definitely be the other guy who comes straight up the rib cage down the channel, four man front row, just loving life.
Yeah,
he loves his friend, and he's definitely hollering to the boys.
That was me. Slide up, try and get into the ribs as you can. Just get your head stuck in there as well. I did love it. Oh.
Highly illegal.
You get me. But with my moldies on, though. Moldies on. Never.
Every little helps.
you just go out of scrum practice and they'd be like, everyone got their studs on. You'd be like, oh, fuck. Walking out to the scrum gym with moldies on.
We used to have this guy at London Irish. We used to have a fun round back, Springbok tired, old school Afrikaner, huge man, 135 clicks, beard, just full wild man. And if he checked your boots and you were wearing moldies, he'd make you lie down, and you'd never argue with Farn because he had this sort of manual farmer strength that you couldn't resist. I saw him like manhandle Steph Armitage into an ice bath one time because he wouldn't do it. But like he'd get you to lie on the floor and have every one of the type five to stamp on your hamstring.
What? Yeah.
Obviously, you wouldn't do it that hard. You wouldn't do it as hard as Farn, but he was old school player. Not many blokes.
Yeah, but you wouldn't wear those moldies the second time, I guess.
Exactly.
Boys, for me, right, you're looking at Quinns, and I don't know, am I unfair in saying this, but you look at some of the players they've got in there, they're not, like at the beginning of the season, they're not the biggest names in rugby, but they're fucking carving up. Oscar Beard, for example, in the centres.
Mm.
Good Farnham boy, by the way. Like, had an unreal season. Louis Leiner, I know, again, it might be unfair me saying this, but and they're losing him to Benetton, but they're not like the superstars, are they? Tyrone Green, how good was he?
But they just but Tyrone Green's always, he's been a killer in the Prem for a while. He's a savage, yeah. But
I know what you're saying. Is it because they don't have this international status as much as some of the other players? Because they've got people like Marcus Smith, Esterhazen, who like obviously steal the limelight. But then you've got these boys going quietly about their business. And I think it's awesome to see. It is interesting, though, like to see they'll lose a few of those players. Leiner, Esterhazen, a few of them are off. But there's something going on at Quinns. But they need to find a way to shore up their defence. Because can you imagine how stressful it would be to be Danny Wilson, who is now the head coach of Harlequins? But can you imagine the stress in that box?
Like, it's always been that way, hasn't it? They've always been like, we'll just score more points than you. Do you know what I mean? That's their vibe. They're like total rugby. That's how they won the Prem 3 years ago. 2 years ago? 3 years ago? Bro, that whole season was about just, we'll just score more points than the opposition. That's how it felt anyway. It was class.
And I suppose when it comes to knockout rugby, it works, doesn't it? Like, when you get to knockout rugby, when you've got a team that can do that and just go in it, the game swings. Like, the amount of times, that game was unbelievable to watch. It was such a good game. And the way it kept chopping and changing, you thought Bordeaux had stolen the game and won it at the end, and then that opportunity, which Luku should have knocked those points over, let's face it. But it was such a good game to watch. Dom Brandt as well. He was on fire.
Will Evans, loving the pancake day. Classic him, just turnovers left, right, and rhubarb. He's been big for Quinns lot, like this whole time, actually. I think he's leading the Prem for turnovers this season as well. So he always comes up with a few points a game, which is invaluable. So, mate, he's having a hell of a year. But I did like the look of when Tamway came on for Bordeaux. Woo-wee! Mate, he was predatory. Get him the ball. That should have been the game plan when he was on. He was on fire.
It was mad when he managed to get it, what you thought was quite close to the, because you're thinking they go over, you're like, get to the, you know, because you're thinking out and wide, that's a tough one. You're like, get in. And you're like, oh well, unlucky Harlequins, that's happened.
Yeah.
It's over.
And then they just stayed in there. And they were just like, little ball try here, Riley again. Like, it's just, fair. Very good.
Worth just saying, there have only ever been 5 matches in Champions Cup history where the losing team have scored 40 points or more, and 2 of them have been Bordeaux this year. They did against Bulls, I think, in the group stage. If you're it's so weird. I mean, if you're a Bordeaux fan, you're probably, to add to the point that Ryan made, you're probably like, what the hell just happened? We've got actual, you know, superstars that are globally recognised players. And some of these other ones are famous within the Prem for Harlequins, but it doesn't translate as much if you're a Bordeaux fan. So they're probably sat there stunned, like, what the hell have just happened? All they've seen is what 2 of their most recognised players are being rested for this game. We're going to absolutely hammer them.
Yeah, I think the critics of Bordeaux, like in the top 14, though, has always been sort of, have they got that star-studded calibre up front? And I think that's where they came unstuck in the set piece. That was sort of their undoing ultimately, because giving Marcus Smith, Will Porter, Beard, etc., that kind of front football, that amount of ball, it's going to be very, very difficult to stop them scoring. And as Bordeaux found out,
they'll be absolutely furious as well, Bordeaux, because think top 14, they're pretty much out of it, stuck down at 6th with not much opportunity to push up into the top of that. And this is all they had left, really, if you think about it. So they thought they were going the full hog. I thought they were going the full way until they maybe met Toulouse. But that atmosphere, like if there was somewhere that I wanted to play right now, down there in Bordeaux, I don't think there's a better place to play. It's like Toulouse is obviously up there, but they're doing it right down in France.
We are delighted to be joined by the star of the moment, Sunday's main man, in our eyes, of course. Double try scorer, 23 points, the most in his pro career. It's none other than Blackinghorn!
Smog. Oh, Smoggy. You shouldn't have put up, mate. Look at the pad. He is upgraded. Airbnb.
The prints look lovely. What do you got hanging on the walls over there?
Yeah, we've just put some artwork up. I won't show it to you. It's minorly erotic, so I won't show it to you.
Hold on, show us the garden. Le jardin. Oh, la la. Oh, la piscine. What?
La piscine. La piscine. Yeah, no, it's not bad, boys. It's not bad. Can't complain.
Look at this guy. 6 months ago, fucking pissing wet in Edinburgh.
Edinburgh has this charm. Who is laughing now?
It was a bit hot yesterday, to be honest, lads. Like 30 degrees directly in the sunlight. It was a tricky one, that's for sure. The pasty skin got whacked.
You got a hangover?
I might have had a couple of beers last night. So I'm not actually too bad, but it's, yeah. A couple of lagers with the boys. It was good fun.
Toulouse nightlife, how does it rate?
So what we did, we went out for like a team meal, and it was like, we just had this restaurant. We all sat outside. It was like, we arrived at like 9:30, all sat outside, had some good food, good laughs, some beverages. I've not experienced the nightlife proper yet, I don't reckon, but it's lively because everyone's always just sitting outside having fun.
Who's restaurant? Was it one of the boys?
I don't think so. No, I don't think it was one of the boys.
Right, but
it was next one in the lads' restaurant.
Didn't have to put a hand in the pocket, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I didn't have to. There was no bill that came to me, so I don't know whether I've just avoided it or. I'll find out on Tuesday when we go back in. But, I think it was gratuit.
So bad.
To be fair, Blair, you seem a lot more relaxed than when we spoke to you in the Airbnb of loneliness, whatever it was, 3 months ago, where I think your only person you were speaking to was Haysto, and it was a tough start. Whereas now, swimming pool, the garden, beautiful erotic
paraphernalia around the room. Living the dream, right?
Yeah, I feel like I've settled in real good now. Feel comfy, feel relaxed. It's good to be in the house. Like, being in the Airbnb was fine, but it's nice to be in, like, a settled place. But no, I'm really, really enjoying it. Really enjoying it currently.
Mate, you can tell. You can tell the way you're playing. You can tell the way that you're celebrating. We spoke. Listen, we'll try and. We don't know where this is plugging in on the podcast because we've done it this morning. We were waiting for you to come back. You finally sent me a weird picture of you topless on the sofa. And then you had to drop your mum at the airport. So we don't know where this is fitting in. But we were talking about the passion. The passion from you. We couldn't get off the ground quick enough to give it that. Come on. You celebrate in French.
I just kind of scream. In French. The thing is, when it's that warm and you're that tired and then you do a loud shout, a loud burst of energy, I thought I was going to pass out, so I had to just compose myself really quickly after. Because that would have been uncool if I score and then pass out in the process. But no, the passion is there. I mean, how can you not be passionate when the fans are going absolutely ballistic? Like, they're going berserk anytime that we do something good and we score a try. So it's just, you kind of feed off that. And yeah, it's superb.
Does the Champions Cup in Toulouse hit a little bit different to the Challenge Cup at the Hive?
Such a cock.
No, I'm trying to just get the balance.
It's a bit different. Yeah, it's a little bit different, I would say.
Yeah, I know you don't want to upset your mates back there, but they'd all be fucking saying the same. You know it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know that Hamish, after just re-signing for another 2 years, is reeling after watching you. Dewey must be absolutely fucking mad. We love the SOU. We love the SOU.
Yes. Don't get in trouble.
Half time, did it get? Was it squeaky bum? Did the coach get awkward, or was it all chill?
I actually don't really know, to be honest, because
I don't understand.
Yeah, I didn't really understand it. Hugo is great at halftime. So when we come in. Coming from the first half, you sit down, it's dead, it's just silence for the first like 5 minutes. Nobody says anything. You just kind of compose yourself. Ugo will come in and then he'll give it beans. He's a very passionate man and very motivating. Like, all the boys are like shouting at the end, like wanting to go. He's very passionate and it obviously works because we came out firing in the second half, whatever he said.
Whatever
it worked.
So who's the chief crazy people? Is it Marchand, the chief crazy guy? I can imagine him like headbutting lockers before he goes out. He's a bit out here.
Who gives it Yaldi in the changing room? I don't.
A proud Gaelic man.
Yeah, like all the boys get pumped. Francois Cross gets pumped.
Oh yeah, he looks like he's ready to run through something. He's just to get a dub.
He's so consistent. Like, he's one of the most consistent players I've played with. Engine, complete and utter engine.
Yeah, he could be a good extra in like a Terminator movie. Yeah.
The people giving it large, to be honest, it's the guys on the bench and big Joe Tacori, who's kind of waiting at the, as we walk out of the change room, he's got the speaker pumping and starts slapping the wall and screaming, and that gets you motivated.
Sure. God bless.
But have you worked out, though, with your French classes and everything, have you worked out the different levels of Ugo so you could tell, he's motivating us versus he thinks we're awful versus, fuck, I think he hates me?
Yeah, you can tell, that's for sure. I feel like I'm picking up more and more with the French that I kind of know. I forgot all of my French during the Six Nations, all of it. Came back and it was like back to square one, but now I feel I've actually got not too bad a base and I can kind of understand things. But when Ugo is angry, you know immediately.
Hold on, I'm just I'm just rereading these stats here. I don't know whether anyone else read them, but Blair Kinghorn got 23 points, his most ever in a pro game, takes him to over 500 in his career. What about Statman Fish? Just dropping those in there. Did you know that?
My dad told me it was the most I've ever had in my career. Didn't know that it was career 500. Cy Kingers, my dad's got a spreadsheet, big spreadsheet. So he's got all my stats. Yeah. Yeah. Minutes, stats, points. It's brilliant. So that'll be getting added into it.
Oh, mate, how good. Yeah, what, like, just talk us through it. That atmosphere. Like, I know I joke about the Hive and Challenge Cup, but Champions Cup down in Toulouse, you boys going for your sixth star on the chest. Mate, the atmosphere, next level, just incredible.
It is crazy. It did feel different. Knockout games certainly do feel different at home. Like, the fans are mental. And there is a bit of pressure on, you've got to perform. The referee was getting it tight yesterday in the game as well. If a decision goes against us, the fans are straight on it. So I've only been on the good side of it so far, because I imagine if you're not performing well, you're not winning, getting results, it'll be bad. But when it's knockout rugby and you're playing well, God, yeah.
Oh, has Hasto been out to visit yet? By the way,
nah, not yet. I booked him in. I've got the room ready for him.
How many rooms have you got? Because remember, I've got four kids, so just trying to work it
out. Not enough for that. Oh, you can sleep in the pool house. Just go in the pool house.
Fucking hell. And then obviously next week, not next week, in 3 weeks' time, you'll be going in semis. Hold on, my brain's gone dead. Who are they playing in semis?
Quins, semis.
Mate, piece of piss. Did you see any of the other rugby over the weekend?
Yeah, we were watching the Bordeaux game as we came in for captain's run. It was on, so it was mental. It's a tough place to go and win, and they've gone and done a job. It's crazy. It's exactly the way that Quins play, like 40 odd points versus 40 points. It was an exciting game. So yeah, no, it's going to be a tough matchup for sure, because they do like to play an exciting brand of rugby, and they can sting you at any time.
Blair, you watching it as a team? So we were chatting about it earlier. Like, for those who don't watch the Prem week in, week out, there are not as many superstars, you would say, perhaps, in that Harlequin side, and they're guys who do incredibly well. Was there a feeling when you're watching it with the other boys that they're watching it going, how the hell are Bordeaux not beating this Harlequin side that doesn't have Danny Kerr, that doesn't have Joe Marler, that's got, you know, these other players that aren't household names in there?
No, I don't think so. I think they're obviously going into the game, because it was away from home, they were probably seen as the underdogs, and Bordeaux have been playing so well recently. I don't know whether Bordeaux maybe underestimated how good they would be, especially away from home. And like I said earlier, the way that they can create something out of nothing and just score immediately is not to be taken lightly.
Well, there it is.
Take us through, just before, because we were chatting, you obviously started the game. Tomas Ramos, into what normally is Tomas Ramos's position, has it before you arrived there? What was the chat before the game? How did it get announced? How did it go down?
How have you stolen his shirt, basically?
No, he's just coming back from injury, so I don't know.
If you score a record amount of points,
The team doesn't get announced till it was on Friday that we found out the team. So he leaves it real late, and he just reads it out in a team huddle.
Fucking hold on a minute! Quarter final Champions Cup, and you're Friday night, like almost football esque.
Friday morning. Friday morning, before we did team training, found out then. It's good. Like, it's a good, when we trained on the Wednesdays, like, everyone's swapping in, running strikes. So it's almost like if you're not training well, then he might change his decision. Like, he'll have one idea in his head, and then you don't train well, he might change his decision. But I don't know how his brain operates.
Man, that's quite interesting, isn't it, Max? Because in every other club I've ever been in, it gets named real early, like Tuesday, Wednesday latest, and it's but it keeps everyone on edge. It makes sure everyone knows all their shit. That's really interesting, actually. Good on it.
I think it's quite good. I kind of like it because then you don't have many, like, you know how if you're not picked, then you could be sulking throughout the week, whereas that you can't because you're thinking, oh, I could be in. No, I like it.
Yeah,
I
like it. Good. I like that a lot.
Since you've moved to Toulouse, is your routine changed in any kind of profound ways, like week to week as an athlete?
I'd say I sleep in. I get up later. That's probably, I probably sleep more. My hours.
The day a lot later to me.
My hours of sleep have increased. I reckon.
There you have it, kids.
More
there
cash, more sleep. It. Anything else?
What about eating habits?
Eating habits. Yeah, no, the eating habits pretty much the same. My fiance looks after me very well. The food quality is good here, you'd say? Yeah, the food quality is great here.
How's the gut microbiome? How's that?
My gut microbiome is good. She's laughing.
Did you talk to her about the poo pills?
The poo pills, no, we're not going on that. She's actually just... She's just done a juice fast for 6 days. She's absolutely...
She did?
Yeah.
Oh, I did a water fast for 6 days rehab, and that was weird, lads.
Yeah?
Another story.
Another time. We're going to get carried away. I'm going to be on for 90 minutes again.
I know, we'll digress.
We'll be a whole other episode again.
So anything that's changed, I tell you what I have been utilizing a lot is the hot bath. They have a ginormous like jacuzzi, and I spend a lot of time sitting in that.
You're just boiling yourself like a gammon.
I'd say the sun makes, when it's warm, it genuinely feels like it does help your body a little bit. It's great. Like, you come out to training and... When we do double days, obviously, usually you'd be feeling like quite stiff and sore going out. But if it's sunny and the heat is on your body, then it does feel a bit better. But I wouldn't say anything's changed massively in terms of my routine. But
sleep more, spend more time in the jacuzzi, catching a bit too much sun, but you're getting, you know, a bit more sun.
Sounds terrific, doesn't it?
There's always the monetary motivation as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's always like, just, you know, it doesn't show away. Oh, man, how fucking good.
But can I just ask you, because we were raving about your performance today, but over the weekend. But give us a word on Jack Willis as well, because he just seemed to put in that kind of where he just was playing at almost at a different level. A lot of players doing that, but he was just bumping people for fun from the looks of things.
Love to and say fucking enorm. mate, Jack was unbelievable yesterday. His ball carrying, like, he's known for his ability to jackal the rock, and his like defensive prowess, but the way that he was carrying the rock yesterday, he was like a man possessed, shrugging off defenders for fun. He's a very powerful, very dynamic man. He was world class yesterday, I'd say.
Mate, he was that. We exactly what we said. We said it in exactly the same way as well, like what he's renowned for, but the way that he just fucking went about carrying and dismantling people just in ball.
I think it just took him a while to get, you know, when you like blow your knee out pretty bad though. I think it does take a few years to fully get that back, like get the sort of strength that you need to ball to like an effective ball, especially the way he plays. Like, he's like a Sasquatch, so he'd be able to wear like collision well. I think it just takes a while for a guy like that to get his knee properly right. It's not like the rehab means fully healed. I never find that players fully come back. Rarely do they fully like that, like off the back of something as profound and severe as something like what he had.
Smog, well, listen, we won't keep... Well, I know I'm fucking very aware that we are not going to keep you for the next hour again, because I know you want to get out there, get some sleep, get in the hot tub, go and enjoy the piscine. But for you, mate, there must be a moment where you're out there in the stadium looking at where you were. How long ago did you go? 6 months? Is that...
When did I come? 7th of December. So it's only been 4 months.
4 months.
You suddenly thought you're going to Toulon. Now you're down in Toulouse and you've got the opportunity of winning a Champions Cup. Like the biggest.
Do the song, bro. Brian, do the song.
I need your help.
That's it.
You've got the opportunity.
That's it.
Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. We won't get ahead of ourselves. Spurs Stadium, mate. Fucking enorm. Like there, that is gladiatorial in there. The size of the stands. Can you believe it? Can you actually believe? Are you pinching yourself?
There's certainly been points where it's been like that. Yeah, like when we perform like we did yesterday, and you kind of it's when the game finishes, you kind of just like you're like fucking hell, we actually just did that. Like I'm actually here. We're doing it. My mum was over for the game, and it was great. And like I was like speaking, me and Dina speaking to her after the game, just like can't actually quite believe that we're here and like that we're doing it. It's still feels surreal, to be honest. But I'm loving every moment, and I'm just trying to soak it.
Did you say hello to your mum for me, by the way? I love you, mum.
Yeah, I did. Just as she left, like we left, I was like, "Oh, Will says hi."
What a legend.
And she was like, "Who?" And I had to explain.
Don't start me off.
Anxiety flashing. Blair, just quickly, what's it been like having Antoine Dupont? You know, he went off for a bit and then he's come back. Has there been any? And then, of course, also getting Ntamack back properly on the field. How's it been?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great to see Ron back out there. Like, he's a massive cog for that French team. So to kind of have that World Cup taken away from him, it's a real shame. You never want to see people get injured, especially before like a big tournament like that. So, no, he's come back in great condition. He's put some size on. He looks like a big boy at the moment. But the way he's a very composed lad. It's kind of like Antoine. If they do something class, and they never get like too up here. Just manage to keep it stable the whole time. I think it's great. It's great for the team. They boss us around the park. But no, it's great to see him back out there, fully fit and fighting.
A word on Haisto's filthy bit of skill at the weekend.
The most unnecessary thing ever. I loved it. It was great,
mate.
Because his missus was there. You see, he put her on Instagram the other day, so I can say that. No,
yeah.
It's because it was his. It was her first game, so he was like, okay,
yeah.
Look at this, love.
Yeah, wait till he's moving back to Glasgow. There's fucking no chance she's coming with him.
Up the road.
Up the road.
Back to sunny Glasgow.
Smug. What an absolute legend.
No, anytime, fellas, anytime.
Ooh, don't say that. No, we'll get Blair live and we'll come down. Just make sure you make the final, okay?
And yeah, then, I'll try my best.
We'll be down there and we'll come and say hey.
Roger that. Roger that.
Cheers,
cheers, boys. A bientôt.
Legend. Au revoir. Thanks. Gentlemen, I just want to take this opportunity to say a massive thank you to our sponsors that have been with us all the way. And I hope that our listeners and our followers have been heading over to the website, which is
wolfpack.com.
Make sure you jump over to that website, go and see what they've got on offer. They've got some wonderful whiskey, some wonderful gin, and they have helped us out massively. We wouldn't be where we are without them. So a big thank you to Wolf Craig Distillers.
Fellas, feeling it though for Maxime Lucu, I think we'd have put a mortgage on that one.
I mean, it's just the situation, it's the circumstances, the consequences were sincere. Gets to the best of them at times.
Yeah, but Max, it wasn't a hard kick.
Here we go, elite sharpshooter Wilson.
Mate, like I've told you about the job at 10 for Leinster, that kick. Oh, fuck.
All right, I need you to just envision, right? You're stepping up to the tee, 77 minutes on the clock.
Yeah.
If you kick this, you're winning the game, right? But if you don't, you're in the beating heart of Bordeaux. Fans around you baying for the blood of the Quins. They're on top of you. They want you to succeed. But at the same time, if you fuck this up, you will be lambasted forever.
Mate, it's like me on the first tee. Like, just take out take out the five iron. Don't get the driver out, mate. And he's pulled out the pitching wedge and he's got right under it and it's got so high. It just needed to
head down, chin down.
You know, hooking and pushing at the same time. Yeah, but anyway, it wasn't the hardest kick. It wasn't the Libok kick that got missed last week. We've seen a few of them now, like to win the game, some clutch kicks. And yeah, there was a bit of time left. And let's not forget, Quinn still had a penalty at the end to try and knock it. So that would have been a little bit more of a pressure kick for someone else. But yeah, I mean, he should be sticking that over. I bet he's getting paid a fucking fortune as well.
I'm so unrelated to that kick. So absolutely.
I'm joking.
Okay, how about this though, boys? And don't confer. If you had one person that could have taken that kick, past or present, who would you have picked?
Either Mornay Steyn or JW.
Yeah, I would have said Wilkinson.
Mornay or Wilkinson. Even maybe Percy Montgomery from that 2007. He was gifted also.
I'm sticking with the Scottish roots, Chris Patterson. He was pretty.
Oh, hold, yeah. He was gifted. He was gifted.
Yeah, he pretty much kept Scotland in 90% of their games that they won. So,
Fair play, but we do feel sorry for the kickers. It's always a tough place to be, despite what Wilson's saying.
Mm. Yeah. We listen. Hey, tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Leinster, La Rochelle. Leinster finally beating the champions in a knockout game. Boys, I don't think we really saw that coming, did we?
I watched it like all Saturday nights, just what you can picture down the pub. No, I watched it in the British Airways lounge with a non-alcoholic beer. Boys, you might have spotted that in my Instagram story, a non-alcoholic Heineken. That's right, because I'm on the path to success. But no one saw that coming. Was it La Rochelle out of sorts, or was it just Leinster being far out good? Because not just their attack, their defence as well. The shots going in. Leinster were on another level. And I'm putting it down to Mike McCarthy's build-up. If you've seen what he does before the games, Mike McCarthy gets the old clap going and he's got the line out there and he's running around building the crowd up. I texted him today saying, mate, 90% of Leinster's success is down to you.
That's class.
But how good were Leinster, Max?
Yeah, they were focused, they were honed, they were dick dastardly, weren't they? My God. Nibanaz, Blitz D in full effect. Second half, scoreless. All the names you associated with La Rochelle, muted, muzzled. Like, they just couldn't do anything. There was nothing, there was no part of their game could really be effective.
It was incredible. Honestly, it was an incredible performance. We talked up the French teams and stuff last week, but and we'll get on to Toulouse in a minute, going for their sixth star on their fucking shirt. But Leinster, if they can go like that, and they've got a home semi as well, haven't they? So you see them in the final without a doubt. Hold on, I'm writing Quinns off again, but with the way they defend, with the way they attack, getting on the front foot, they are just next level.
Boys, can we though just mark the fact that La Rochelle went to Cape Town last week and beat the Stormers, right? And how much emotional energy and physical energy that would have taken to then literally a week later have to then go to Ireland and gear yourself up for another battle. Surely that must have played some sort of part.
Yeah, potentially. I heard Ronan O'Gara's pre-game week down in Munster was very sort of, I'm not going to say leisurely, but it was quite kind to the men, trying to prepare them and sort of put a pip in their step for the contest.
100%. There's going to be little to no training.
Yeah, little to no training.
Walkthroughs, completely relaxed, like no, because you've done all your work. You're so deep into a season now. Everything's been done. There's no need to train. The boys will be in like the best nick they've been in. They'll be a bit bashed up and travel. But yeah, you're right, Max. He's going to have a light week. But that's
so you don't think it's played any point?
Yeah, but that's why these. That's why obviously competing in the group stages is so important. So you get those home ties, and that's I suppose when you look back at, and we were saying about teams just throwing bomb scores out there because it didn't really matter as long as they make it through the group stages. But this is when it then comes to fruition, doesn't it? When you know, right, I've got a home semi, we've got a home quarter, we've got a home semi. If you're the higher seeded team, this is where it counts. So looking back at those group stages when teams throwing bomb squads down there, and we'll get onto Bulls who completely, utterly did that. That's where it matters. But Leinster, I mean, not many teams are going to go and do much against a team that play like that and defend like that.
They were so horrible, weren't they? Every single one of them. All the big names as well just turned up and were just terrifying. They were in full glory, to be fair to them.
Bottier, though, for in terms of La Rochelle, someone that was like everything he could do, that man.
Mate, relentless one. He's so fun to watch.
Heart, soul, shoulders, body, everything.
Van der Fleer trying to keep him in the breakdown, and he's like, nah, have that in your mush. Yeah. But it'd be a stadium, but yeah, all for it, all for it. A little bit of shithousery. Good for the soul.
Sorry, but boys, I don't want to take anything away from Leinster. They absolutely deserve that. They were phenomenal. But isn't it slightly preposterous that the system will be that they will quite literally go all the way through at home through all the knockout stage? There's no, you know,
on a plane. Yeah.
No, and the difference. Sorry, my point was, you know, the La Rochelle squad have flown to South Africa, then they've come back, flown to Ireland. What? I'm wondering whether corruption there's a better way to format the tournament where you don't just have three home, you know, you have three home games.
I think they'll reformat it after this. I think they'll reformat it because, like, as you said with the Bulls, as you said, there's been a few teams putting out bomb squads, etc., etc. And I think that is out of spirit with the competition. So I think they're going to have to rejig it to ensure that people load their teams up with the creme de la creme.
Tottenham Hotspurs, though, obviously it all culminates at the Spurs Stadium, doesn't it? Which that is going to be fucking crazy.
Yeah, that will be very, very vibey.
We're going to have to try and sort tickets out, boys. We've got to get down there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that. Be fine. Yeah, you're the arch. You know, negotiator, haggler, geezer, you could sort it.
I'll ever stand this. Don't you worry.
Right. In the URC though, do all those boys sort of the Leinster sort of the royalty? Do they play most games or are they chilling all still like
Europe
games and Leinster?
They still go. They obviously got huge squads. Compared to the Prem, I think URC teams have bigger squads.
Fair play to them because like you never really see like the Irish boys have weak games now. Like you would have thought they'd been out rugbyed, like the emotional build up, the sort of pressure on them on a national scene and at a club level. Like guys like Furlong, Porter, Van der Fleer, even like Baird, like they've been around now. James Lowe been around, Gibson Park, but they're all just sort of seem to go up a level. Like they just keep playing well. It's
and that's it. They sprinkle in a little bit of youth with
some stardust,
and then they just keep changing the team up. And
they've nailed it. Whatever they're doing, they know something. The management in that system are onto it, and they've nailed it.
How many, like in Bristol Bears? How many? You know how many squad players you'll use throughout a season?
Oh, no idea.
Because like Glasgow, it was on average 54 players a season, which when you think about it, that's fucking big numbers.
I think the squads are getting smaller in the Prem though for the next year. They will be sort of downsized, I think, considerably, given the new financial backing of the TNT deal, bastards. But what I was going to say is, with this game, with Leinster v La Rochelle, what we got to remember is Leinster hadn't really. I mean, they beat them sort of in the pool stages, obviously. So they knew they had something over them in that regard. But when it came to knockout rugby, they hadn't beaten them. So this was like revenge, like warmed up. They were very focused for this match, no doubt. They wanted to put them to the sword. And I imagine Ronan O'Gara's says fucking a norm sort of trolling campaign over Leinster as a proud noble Munsterman. only added fuel to the fire.
Oh, yeah. Another man chucking wood on the fire. Man with a mullet, though. Joe McCarthy.
He's just great to watch. He's so fun.
But you watch him at like 75 minutes, Max, and he's counter-rucking. Like, just keeps going. He's in the middle of a ruck. There's no need, but he's up. And that's it. They've got the dog about him that they just...
Like him and Baird are horrible in the breakdown, aren't they? Like they just go like full shoulder, all rib cage. They're looking to maim people. Yeah. Like anything that exists in the breakdown is just scorched earth. Mate, yeah, he is...
That's what you need. You need to inflict pain constantly.
Yeah, no, he's relentless. He is relentless. But he is quite explosive, which just makes him such an impressive athlete because he does have the fast switch. Usually it's the chugboats who are those kind of like 80-minute warriors. But he's definitely got a bit of pop. Like, he's got a few horses under the hood to boot with that sort of engine.
I would love to, I'm not a massive fan of S&C, but know what they're doing in and amongst that Leinster, like, you look at, like, Jameson Gibson Park, 65 minutes in, like a scrappy kick's going through, and he's just got pure gas to still burn. And that's a nine going length to length, side to side, just...
Yeah. And the games are only getting more mental.
Just keep going.
Yeah, it's true.
Because when you go to international camp, right, and this is what I think Glasgow found, is when you go to international camp, training goes down a level because the games are so brutal. And like international rugby is another level. So actually training dips off hugely compared to club rugby. Like that's something Franco Smith prides Glasgow on, is like their fitness, getting up, getting down. And his training is completely different to Gregor Townsend's training. So I reckon they've got a synergy there, though, with Ireland, that because most of their Leinster boys are in with the Irish group. There's got to be something there because they've come back from that Ireland, winning a championship with Ireland, and come back and still look, ridiculous, Nick. So, but Leinster, they're pushing it. They're pushing it, boys.
All right, let's move on to the Saints, who themselves go marching on. Let's start with the big
controversy.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get our thoughts. We love everything about South Africa and our South African teams and all of that. But there is a slight element of devaluing the competition. You know, that's been the big controversial talking point. From your perspective, fellas, you know,
I feel as if Jake White had a legitimate way to transport his squad in some kind of like luxury, like he should have, he would have loaded up the team. I think given the logistics around getting to this game, he recognized that potentially they were going to be stopped. So he thought it was a wasted opportunity. So he's kept his players powder dry in terms of the first choice team.
Mark, give us the stats on this travel because this is interesting.
So yeah, so there were eight flights, or they flew in eight different groups. And the one thing, I mean, that's that in itself is, have you guys ever done it where you're flying to a place and you've had to go in separate groups?
No.
I think I have. I've done it, but only in two groups. Like one's gone via Dubai, one's gone via somewhere else.
But not to like, not to a knockout Champions Cup game.
Oh, fuck no. Knockout game. But I've done it where we've travelled to South Africa and we've had to go on different flights. And I think another one was coming back from the World Cup, maybe, because you've been knocked out. So someone
you deserve it. It's your punishment.
Created three separate groups just on your own by like getting off at different places like Dubai.
Yeah. Everyone's like, so which flight? And everyone's like, I want to get back to the family. I'm like, what's the latest flight back?
Put me on another one. It's worth noting that the EPCR, obviously the organizer of the competition, they signed a partnership with Qatar Airways in 2022 to help European teams fly to South Africa via Doha. But they've maintained it's SA Rugby's responsibility to find available flights for their teams when they kind of travel to Europe or travel north. So does that already put, what do we think? We obviously don't know the ins and outs. There's obviously some sort of disagreement somewhere, but it puts the South African teams at a disadvantage regardless, right?
It puts them at a disadvantage, yeah, definitely. But they wanted into European rugby and they knew the rules.
You know the rules, big man. You know the rules. You've just... So
it is tough, but they knew the rules and it is difficult. Surely, I mean, I'm guessing, let's say it was Sharks in that situation. They've got huge financial backing. I don't know what the Bulls backing is like, but surely a private jet, just get fucking rent a plane and charter something and get them there all in one go. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, how much...
Stuff. Like,
you fly private jet all the time. How much is a private jet to South Africa?
I can't tell you. I wouldn't know. But I can say what? That they...
They
balls have spent. They spent. God, I can't say. I think it's. No, fuck off! Don't lure me into this. I don't know. Full stop. No idea. And but I will say that the. I think it's cost £175,000 to SA Rugby to get the balls, to the game in itself. So you've got a rough idea of even that, in eight different groups. That's how much it cost them. It's quite a lot.
I would have liked to see a fully stacked Bulls go to Northampton, though. Because
that scuppered my prediction. That scuppered our prediction, Ryan. Yeah, so damn you, Mark. Who would have thought they would have sent that team instead of the horrible, like, Biltong munching juggernaut team? Yeah.
But surely there's a billionaire South African out there. Listen, if it was me, they should have come to the fixer. I would have been out there going to the billionaire's camp, boys. This is it. We'll give you a player appearance. You can have the whole Bulls squad come to your wedding or whatever you want to do. Monday photos. I would have hashed a deal in there somehow.
Elon, here you go, mate. You could have any of these guys over at...
Exactly. Why didn't they ring Elon Musk? Idiot.
Which Elon Musk was a huge rugby fan. But yeah. I don't know, but Jake White already... In the pre-match, if you saw the interview, he's already sort of like, he was already defending his stance. Like, he was explaining, like, statistically the players he picked in terms of, like, their experience, what they've done, etc. So he was definitely under fire in some regard. So, like, I don't know. It's interesting. It would have been cool if he was, like, more sort of free with that and gave his reasoning. But obviously, it's not. He doesn't have to. So,
do we think they should have devalued the competition, which it did? It really did, especially when you look at the result in the end. Do we think there should be a punishment?
I don't know. That's so difficult. Should for a blowout result, like, I don't know, we're going to talk about them next, but to lose in Exeter, like. Was that Exeter's second choice team? Do you know what I mean? What's devaluing the comp? How can you just sort of...
Well, but this was a second string side.
But you can't say that because when you're inside that camp,
all down to
he puts that team together. Yeah. Like I've been in teams where it's
you like say it's the second string, but Jake White might be like, for this game, it's not the second string, and I'm the boss man.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Remember that there's different factors for those players. They are going down there. They're not going down there thinking we're going to get fucking hosed. But they're going down there going, boys, he's going to his team. You can do something special here. There's an opportunity for a lot of players. You never know what can happen. So you can't, yeah, I don't think you can. I don't think you can say that. But they'll be obviously wanting to focus on the URC as well. If he thinks he's tried the way up, they're third in the URC. They're trying to make sure they get that home court. Because when they get a home court in the URC... Teams have to go to Pretoria, and then that's another story. So he doesn't want to lose out on that. But it is a shame. It is a shame, and something needs to be done about it. But just get a billionaire. That's it.
I do think there's a question for us at some point, and it'd be interesting to hear from our South African followers their thoughts. And, you know, do you think they are enjoying this as much or more than they were enjoying being in Super Rugby?
That's a great question, Mark. I think they are, because I think they recognise that the sort of the peak of Super Rugby is over now. I think it's not what it used to be. I'd say that they're probably happier being in Europe in terms of for their domestic game. It keeps the Springbok rugby healthy and sharp.
I'll leave Max. That's enough on that. Let's just talk about the game really quickly. Fucking hell. Northampton still look pretty good, though. Ollie Slatehome again. Like, just that the black boots are back out there. There's nothing really flashy. He's just a grafter. I like
great,
him a lot.
He's great.
I like
him a
lot. Just bouncing people off. No one seems to get him down. He doesn't look like a huge human being.
Yeah, he doesn't, but there's something going on. There's something going on in the getaway sticks. He's horrible, isn't he?
I like him. I like him a lot. And we've spoke about the black boots, black socks. It's just something. There's something just beautiful about it. He's a proper grafter.
He's got to be involved. He's got to be involved in the white shirt. It has to happen. He's turning into like my favorite winger to watch in the Prem right now. He's horrible.
Where were Northampton last year, by the way? I'm trying to think. Like, were they up there competing? Because this season.
No, they were battling a bit last season, but this season they've absolutely turned it on. Like, and Alex Cole's
fucking so good to watch. Like, they and they've got a lot of young talent in there with the likes of Freeman, Furbank, Finn Smith. Like, it's pretty exciting, isn't it, to watch? They're obviously killing it in the Prem. Now we've got a semi-final. Whoa, where do they go? They go to Leinster, though, don't they?
I know, but I think...
Here we go.
I'm all in. I'm all in on that one. That could be very fruity. That'll be a fun game. It'll be a great litmus test, and we'll soon see the chops on Northampton when they go somewhere like that. Like, are they that kind of beast? But like right now, obviously Saints set piece as well as Perrin. I think they will be staunch. Like, I think they'll be a tougher challenge than La Rochelle, in my opinion.
There you have it. Mark, just tell me, like, in terms of like Prem teams getting into the semi, there's two Prem teams. One,
sorry, you're wondering who's in? Yeah, I mean, it's two Prem teams, a French team and an Irish team.
So that's, and the way that the Prem's been this season, it's pretty impressive to see those two teams go through and all the troubles that we've had in the Premiership, to see two of them go through in such fine form and knock out some big guns on the way as well. Like, obviously, Northampton probably had an easier run into it, but Quinn's, like, doing the job down in Bordeaux.
And Quinn's a team of dark horse at the moment. Unbelievable. Yeah. So good.
But, yeah, so, I mean, in the end, from we can't take a huge amount from that game, let's be honest. Particularly, you know, as we've discussed, the issues that the South African teams have had, the Bulls in particular had, trying to get their players there. But from everybody's perspective, the Saints are really in a wonderful moment of form.
Yeah, they're top of the Prem. They're now into a semi against a European giant in Leinster. The last time Northampton played Leinster, when was that? They played them in a final one year, didn't they?
Yeah, it was 10 years ago, wasn't it?
It was about that, wasn't it? Was it 10 years ago?
And it was that one, if I remember rightly, it wasn't it the one where they went like 28 points up?
And then Johnny Sexton had the famous rallying call and sort of brought it back for Leinster.
Is the 2011 Heineken Cup final, and they were 22-6 down at halftime, Leinster were, and Leinster won the match 33-22. So Northampton didn't actually score any points in that second half.
11. And Laws be playing.
Yeah, Courtney Laws was there. There was Ben Foden at fullback. Everybody's favourite scrum half. Wait, have I got this the right way around? Lee Dixon, is he Lee everyone's Dixon. Favourite? The one person that everybody hated, right? Dylan Hartley, your pal, was in there, Ryan.
Tonga Weir and Brian Majati up front. Oh, horrible, horrible.
And then Leinster would have been stacked with O'Driscoll, Carney, Heaslips.
Was that the Rocky Elson year?
No, their back row was Heaslip, Sean O'Brien, Kevin McLaughlin. Nathan Hines was in the second row. Ryan, did you ever come across him?
Yeah. Well, Wagga, he was my coach for forward coach for Scotland. But yeah, I played under and against Wagga.
They had a hell of, even just like, you know, Darcy O'Driscoll in that midfield. Nasewa, in a fullback.
He was a legend at Leinster.
He's got keys to the city, don't he? Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool to look back on. Right, we better move on because we're getting too fucking caught up in this shit.
But anyway, let's move on to that. What's the headlines they're calling it? Gone in 600 seconds. Toulouse Exeter of everything happening in that sort of 4 tries in 10 minute period, because it was pretty tight for you know that first half, and then suddenly it just blew up. And guys, first things first, here's one for you. Toulouse are unbeaten at home for over 2 years, 34 matches. So whatever way you look at it,
wow.
Exeter were having a hell of a hard time going over there and getting anything, really.
But they gave a good go of it. They were.
We called it, didn't we? We called it.
I was a bit like, oh, hello there, mate. They were dogged, and then suddenly stuff started happening. Inter Mac in space, DuPont doing weird things, Smoggy, aka Blair Kinghorn, aka crazy Scottish 15 doing mad things to good people on the edge there. Mate, the Toulouse back line just came alive. Man, unbelievable scenes.
What about him? He's loving it.
Oh, mate, he
couldn't get up quick enough. Yeah, I mean, that is as close to being a footballer in a fucking huge arena as it'll get in terms of rugby. Like, do you know what I mean? Pumping it up. Oh, Jack Willis.
Oh, good God.
Jesus.
Oh, no. He went Super Saiyan, didn't he? He got weird. He was like, get on my back, lads. I'm going to do...
Does he normally carry like that, bumping people off? I know he's a grafter, a jackaler, someone that goes after ball, but carrying in
he
this
can.
Game.
He can when he has to, apparently. He can when he has to. He was just slipping arm tackles left, right, and rhubarb, wasn't he? He was just draped in people. He would just somehow get out of them.
Who would you rather play for? Like, would you rather play for Toulouse in that atmosphere or Bordeaux in the atmosphere down there?
No, Toulouse, the legacy. The legacy is just too much. You are literally, you are called the European team. That's what you're the kings of Europe. That's what they're known as. That's an unbelievable legacy to sort of represent. And big, big Smoggy's loving it down there. Fair play to him.
I did text him, see if he could jump on, but only this morning, and I'm guessing he's got like red wine teeth because they would have been kicking the ass out of it last night. But if he does come back partly throughout today with a text, we'll jump back on. But he, what a move. Imagine being Edinburgh, flying down the Sharks in the Challenge Cup and just getting beaten this weekend. Or
yeah.
Thumbs up.
Pulling Exeter's pants down. And
oh, how good, like... Beginning of the season at Edinburgh, going, oh, this is going to be a long fucking season, boys. This is going to be a long season. And then halfway through, just getting a little get a jail free card. Hey, you want this? You want this? You want to come? Mate, the move of the century.
How about him starting over Ramos? Talk to me about that, Rye.
Was Ramos not playing 10?
Oh, no, and Tamak was back.
Ramos came on, didn't he? Yeah. Well, I think they see him as
very interesting to me. They'll do it team on team. Like
I'd back him to start every game though ahead of Ramos. Ramos, remember, he's the fucking matador. He's literally, come on, through you go.
Yeah.
And where's Schmog?
He's a mainstay in the French national team though.
Yeah, but he's defensively, he's just not there. Whereas, I don't know, but for me, Blair Kinghorn is tearing it up. He didn't just score a couple of tries, but he assists as well. And he's big, rangy man that can do it all. Oh, yeah, so good. But Toulouse, there's no way Quinns can go there and do the job. No way. No way.
We said that last week.
You said exactly the same thing last week.
I hope I don't jinx it, because I really... Would you rather Quinns beat Toulouse? Who would you rather, actually in your heart, Max? Who would you rather see win? Quinns or Toulouse?
I think just because it's my friend Will Collier's last season at Quinns this year.
Fuck no, man!
I'd really love to see him go on and... go play for the final. And what a story that would be, going to two sort of French bastions of rugby, being the tight head that basically got you through Bordeaux, and then you're up against Cyril Bai down in Toulouse. Mate, it'd be just a beautiful story, a beautiful end to his Harlequins career. But
who's got more chance of beating Leinster?
That's the way you look at it. Yeah,
yeah. I suppose the men in red. But anything can happen once you get to the knockout. It's once you're in the knockouts, as we've seen, Ryan.
I don't get excited about rugby, boys. Like, it's not. I don't love it. It's
exciting. No, it's been good though. Mate, yeah. It's been unbelievable. So many points, so much like try scoring prowess on show. But yeah, lads, that overseas England rule has to go as well, because Jack Willis is going to make it very, very difficult to keep in place if he continues this kind of form.
What Max has just said, though, let's come on, guys. Let's give it, we are the podcast. We are pro rugby. Isn't it great? Because that was the highest scoring Champions Cup quarterfinal stage in history. There was average of 77 points per game. There was a previous high of 62 last year and then 56 in 2010. So we're way, 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 way above. You know, this... And there was jeopardy, there was drama, there were some thrashings, but also some amazing tries. So, boys, great times, no?
C'est magnifique. Ouais, c'est magnifique. C'est fucking
annoying. It's the best it's been. But you'll still go on Twitter and just trawl through it and just see a load of sort of amateur pundits just destroying it, lambasting it. Look at this. Terrible. Referees can't do anything. That's why this sport will never be taken seriously. Blah, 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 blah. And it just goes on and on and on. But really, if you look at it objectively, you're absolutely right. It's the best it's ever been. It's rugby is sexy again.
So with that in mind, we've got the semi-finals in front of us. Let's make those calls. I think you've sort of hinted, Ryan, your hints are pretty laid bare, but first up, Leinster versus Saints. Thoughts?
It's Leinster Toulouse final, isn't it? That's what the brain tells you. That's what the frontal cortex will tell you, but the heart would love to see just two upsets and an all premiership final between Quins and Saints. It just doesn't sound right, does it, Mark? It sounds wrong. It sounds weird. But right, it could happen. It could happen, lads.
Two, three. We've got 3 weeks to those semis, right? 3 weeks. I think Leinster have got the more depth in the squad. Let's say they've got to play three games over the next 3 weeks. URC. Both teams, Leinster, Northampton, are flying at the top. They're both at the top of their respective leagues. Northampton have got Leicester this week, which is an easy game now. And not as easy as your game at the weekend. You've got Newcastle, Max. But you look at that and you think, whichever teams can manage themselves best before then will probably come out on top. And I think one big injury in that Northampton team...
Who are you talking about?
A Finn Smith,
okay.
You know, but Leinster just have the depth. So not only this is me working it out. Yeah, they've won. Yeah, Leinster have won. So they have it.
And then for Toulouse Quins, it's Toulouse all day, is it?
Quins have got too much to do to try and stick in that top four. They've got a graft the next 3 weeks.
So you're
changing your... Sorry, because when you were like, Toulouse are going to hammer them, effectively, you were saying that.
We're hammering them anyway.
Are you talking about because of what they've got to do in between or because of the fact that on a one-off game, Toulouse are Toulouse?
I don't know. I think Toulouse are beatable after that first half. I'm putting it out there. I know it's an 80-minute game, Ryan. I know. But
yeah, I wouldn't take Exeter as a point of reference because they were shit towards the end.
Very young Exeter side. Lots to come from this Exeter team, by the way.
We just stated that home record in Toulouse. There's no way.
There's no way. But there's always a Quins way.
No.
Where there's do we agree?
Okay, so I'm going Leinster Toulouse final. Mm. Max, you're going?
Yes, I'm going Leinster Toulouse final. That's what my brain tells me, yes.
But if we wanted it, I would want a Northampton Toulouse final.
A Northampton Toulouse final.
For the love
and
of
if
project.
You wanted it, Max, what would you want?
I want Northampton Quinns final.
Ah, oh, you prem doors. Yeah.
England. I'm seeing all those stars on Leinster.
Imagine that. A European Cup final of those two and then a prem final of those two. It'd just be a disgrace.
Oh, wouldn't it just? Yeah.
Boys, whilst just to close off that sort of European feeling, if you will, at what stage should there be a draw for the European knockout stages? Sorry, I'm banging on about the home bit. Because you're both effectively saying Leinster and Toulouse are at home. Toulouse are unbeatable at home, so it's a given, whatever Harlequins throw at them. So should there be a draw for the round of 16? Should there be a draw for the quarterfinals or for the semi-finals?
I would follow football. I'd follow the Champions League. I think it makes it quite exciting, the whole draw thing. Then I could go along and put my hand in the ball.
The problem is we can't do that in because of football. It's home and away, so there's less of a it's equalized, if you will.
Mark, you've clearly thought about this. What do you think?
I mean, personally, I love the idea of having a draw for it, and that your seeding doesn't take you through from the groups all the way through to effectively the final. I don't know how it could be how you could give the advantage to keep the groups relevant if you didn't keep it at least until. I mean, I wonder whether the semi-finals might be a good place to put it.
Yeah, well, we touched on it earlier how important those seedings are. So, how important having home seedings are. So, yeah, maybe semi-finals.
Yeah, semi-finals, I reckon.
In any case, let's do a quick glimpse of Challenge Cup. You know. The big moments, if you will. Willis Oney, we want to talk up our pal of the show. Hey, Stowe.
The man's back and he's doing all sorts of dirty things. Around the back, grubber through the legs that's nutmegged someone. What's he up to there? But Gloucester, and this is it. This is why the Challenge Cup is good, because it can almost build seasons back up. Look how good Gloucester have been throughout the Challenge Cup. They've been shite in the league and they're pushing. For this, it's quite exciting to watch, Max, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I'm with you. It's nice to see Haysto doing his highlight reel trickery and skullduggery all over the field. But yeah, but statistically, Ospreys seemed like they were on top. They just sort of were losing that set piece battle up front, and that sort of became their sort of undoing. But which is sad. Toby Booth's up, Barmy Army knocked out. But yeah, Gloucester. We'll see.
Claremont destroyed Ulster, which we all saw it coming. And then the game that I commentated on, Sharks Edinburgh. Sharks team, they've 13th in the URC.
But the team.
Have you seen that team?
The team is mental.
And not only that, they've added Nkanye, Esterhazen next season.
Geez.
They are going to be a proper force to reckon with, I think, next season. I just think they haven't really clicked.
They've got a few injuries at the beginning. Yeah.
But suddenly they're pulling away and everything's riding on this Challenge Cup. They're going to go and win it. Yeah, Sharks for me, do the job.
Sharks win it.
With some of those people in there, it's an absolute disgrace.
Horrible.
And then Benetton doing the job on Connacht. So Benetton keep pushing on. To see Benetton in a final again just shows where Italian rugby's going.
With a quick light, so the semi-finals you've seen are Sharks versus Clermont, Gloucester versus Benetton. Worth what sort of story that would be if somehow Gloucester managed to, having had what is effectively one of their worst seasons was the feeling, certainly in the league, and then coming up and managing to salvage it.
After our just chat a minute ago in terms of venues, how interesting is it that Sharks aren't allowed to play at home? So they've chosen Harlequins as their semi-final venue. So it's Sharks playing Clermont? At the Stoop, boys. At the Stoop, which is quite cool. Because they reckon per capita there's the most South Africans in the borough.
Yeah, in Twickenham, Roehampton. Yeah, that's a great shout from them. Yeah, good.
They went and did some stats on it, and they basically worked out that it's just
South
Okies, man.
fucking full of it.
Guys, no, seriously, the South Africa-New Zealand pre-World Cup warm-up game, I was at Twickenham. Boys, it felt like 70,000 of South African brethren just going absolutely berserk. It genuinely felt like you were a home game. It was mad.
Do you know who they need to help promote it, though? That comedian guy that, you know, pretends he's the fucking South African man, goes down the fucking shops. Have you seen
Josh Berry? Today, I ate Biltong.
Yeah, I ate Biltong, man. What? We go down and laugh at these fucking pommies trying to play fucking rugby. It's so funny. We just sit and laugh. So it's those... That game, Sharks versus Clermont, with the team that Sharks have got, that's actually quite a cool game to watch.
That'd be a good game.
That'd be a good game to go and see. And then, what's the other one? So it's Benetton, Gloucester.
Benetton, yeah, and Gloucester.
Do you reckon Gloucester? I reckon Benetton could do it.
It'd be nice to see. But I think all their eggs are in the basket of the Challenge Cup are Gloucester's, whereas Benetton is still pushing for top eight in the URC. So
you're saying Gloucester Sharks, are you? Final.
Keeps it interesting though, boys. It keeps it interesting. The Challenge Cup is not dead. The big boys, we love it, but that is still an interesting competition to keep our eyes on.
Speaking of big boys, just a final one, fellas. Friend of the show, we love him a lot, Angus Bell. Don't know if you saw, unfortunately, he's been out injured again. Same toe injury, and there's talk of a positional change. Ryan, you know him. What are your thoughts?
Well, Max will be able to tell you how important your fucking toes are in a scrum. That's for sure. But in terms of his positional change, it's like, remember that night?
Oh, mate, that butt basket.
Dwayne Vermeulen gets his COVID test back positive and everyone's scrapping, worrying where to go. And the first chat was, Big Belly, he's played number eight back in the day. He knows how to do it. We've seen him tearing up in Super Rugby and for Australia. Just shift a little bit of weight and he's in there. I think he'd need to shift any weight. He's almost like a Vunipola-esque. So, yeah, how good? It'd be good to see him, and fucking tough for him, though. Max, your toes are important for scrummaging, though, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't know what the mechanism of injury is, but if it's like chronic turf toe or sesamoiditis, yeah, mate, that is unbearable. I had that at the beginning of my career. I was like, I would get like rolled out local in the joint, play on a Saturday at Irish, and just like train Thursday, play Saturday, and I'd be off feet the rest of the week.
Mate, it's that or gout. I don't know what's better. Turf toe,
gout. Awful, man. Awful.
Yeah, rest up, Belly. We'll see you back at number eight.
But Belly, in that Barbars versus Wales game, did you see what he was up to, mate? Throwing grabbers through and stuff. Mate, it would be beautiful. How good would that be for props all around the world as well? The sort of motivation, the inspiration that you could, one day you too could become an international ball carrying number eight. If you get good enough.
It's a beautiful story. It turns out,
Angus Bell was like, yeah, I want to be a number eight when I grow up. It's happening. How good. How bloody good.
And a huge thank you to everyone for listening, for watching. As always, tell your pals, get them to subscribe, get them to like, comment on the videos, and we will see you all next week.
Peace out, baby.
More or nothing.
If it ain't bending, you pretending. If you don't go deep, you don't pull the meat. You gotta throw the butt like thunder to get under.
And there you are, if you needed some inspiration. Right there, from Max Leaf. Love you guys.